When I knew that we were going to have SES loyalty back, SBS loyalty back in the studio for a second day in this period, I thought I've got to get another SBS person to maybe even fill us in with some stories of this man, because we can't find any dirt on him. Mike Tomalaris, good morning and welcome.
I'm
sure the Bible of dirt you have on this guy would be huge.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Georgie. Happy New Year, Tony. Look, what goes on in the studio stays in the studio. I have seen George wear football shorts and football boots, but I've never seen him wear Lycra. And perhaps that could be the next New Year's resolution.
He's shaking his head.
No. My brother-in-law, Simon Gillett, tried to do that once for an Amy Gillett ride, and he didn't succeed, and I love him. So it's not going to happen.
Mammals, is that right, George?
Yeah. Very good point. Mr. Santuck knows what's going on. He knows there are the things you do in life, and there are things that you stay right away from.
Oh, come on, George. Everybody's into it now.
Mike,
if I can do it, you can do it.
No, yes, but you see, you can carry it off. A bit like Phil.
Liggett.
The great Liggett is a great commentator, and we're talking about greats. Who have we seen, who have we heard in our lifetime that really has made an impact? And from the first time I heard him call, you fall in love. You understand just what a spectacular broadcaster and professional he is. But he's another guy who actually lives the game. He rides everywhere, doesn't he?
And you're
doing that too.
Well, I do, and I've been doing it for about 15 years after I hung up my football boots. But with Phil Liggett, he's 73 years of age. He's in Ballarat as we speak this afternoon and probably going around on his push bike that's normally given to him. But you're right, George. He really is a mentor of mine in terms of television commentary. And I think the difference is that he has a dulcet tones. He's got those golden tonsils, a bit like Martin Tyler, I think. And
yeah, recognisable voice.
Yeah, who was that famous motor racing...
Murray Walker.
That's correct. I mean, there's Murray Walker, there's Martin Tyler, and there's Phil Liggett. They've got those golden tonsils, and they separate everybody else, I think, when it comes to broadcasting.
Lucky enough to see Phil down at Williamstown yesterday in what was a great day of racing for Caleb Ewer again. He's now become this king of the streets of Williamstown, and Phil's looking great. There's no doubt about it. He's looking very good. But another guy that works with him that I think is coming on pretty well also, Matty Keenan.
Oh, Keno's great. We've had him on our coverage on SBS for many years now, and he's been travelling to the Tour de France as part of the broadcast on SBS since 2007, I think was his first one. Look, he is an encyclopedia when it comes to cycling. His knowledge is second to none, and it's just so good to have him on board the SBS coverage. He covers the domestic scene. He covers the international scene. And what he doesn't know about the sport, I haven't met anybody quite like it. And he does ride a push bike. And there's not much of him in terms of physical attributes because he's very, very slim. But I think it's all because he wears the Lycra, George, and he does jump on two wheels.
And I'm going to put it out there right now, Mike. Cycling would have to be one of the hardest events, sporting events, to commentate. Because day goes for so long, you're going 40, 50, 60 Ks, and there's not really that much action that happens all the time. The positions don't change every 10 seconds.
But if you listen to the great commentary...
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. These guys are great.
What they do is they tell a narrative. They provide a narrative, and you become so engrossed, you stay the journey. You go along on the ride.
Correct.
And Mike has been doing that for every time he's been part of the SBS commentary team, especially doing the classic race out of Europe. And it's taking you around and watching the most spectacular discovery of some of the great sights of France and Europe. And you sit there and you go, oh, I've been there, or I'd like to go there. And Mike's been there now. How many times have you done it now?
George, I've completed my 21st Tour de France for SBS last year.
21st. Happy 21st, mate.
Thank you very much. 22 coming up in July this year, and it all starts from Dusseldorf in Germany. And we haven't been to Germany for quite a few years, the tour makes its way into Luxembourg, Belgium, before staying in France. But you're right. I mean, every stage, and next year, or I should say this year, every stage will be covered from start to finish.
Wow.
And some of these stages, they run for 6 hours. And for Phil, who at 73 years of age, is a good bike rider, but I don't think the bladder is holding up as well as it used to be. He's got to rush out every 2 hours or so to relieve himself.
That's the sort of stuff we want to hear.
Mike, that's why you have a crew. And that's why you have, as they say in radio parlance, a team of gladiators that you can go to.
You might say, George, it's the piste de resistance.
We've got you on to have a chat about the Nationals, which kick off today, Mike. And as I said, a great win for Caleb Ewan yesterday, again on the streets of Williamstown. How's that going to hold him instead for the Criterium today in Ballarat?
Yeah, it was a great win for Caleb, but I think he's a little bit disappointed that he didn't collect the series over the 3 days.
Well, if he hadn't had a fall, he probably might have.
Yeah, well, that's right. On day one, New Year's Day, he had a fall, and that sort of set him back quite a bit. But, you know, he'll take a lot from yesterday's victory going into this evening's National Criterium Championship on Sturt Street in Ballarat. He's brimming with confidence. He's looking to go back-to-back, but he's got a little bit of competition, I think. There's no doubt about it. Caleb Ewan, at 22 years of age, is the best sprinter in Australia and among the best sprinters in the world. They've been comparing him to the great Robbie McEwen for a couple of years now. And although he hasn't done the Tour de France as yet, they're keeping him in cotton wool, Orica Scott. His time will come. And once he does make it on the roads of France, or in this year's case, Dusseldorf, as I say, it's starting from there this year, he will just set the world on fire. He's already won a stage in the Grand Tour. That was the Tour of Spain, the Vuelta La, in 2015. Came very close to winning a stage at the Giro last year. But I think he'll be an odds-on favourite to win this afternoon in Ballarat. But he's got some competition. Steel von Hoff, one of the great names of world cycling, the man of steel, aiming for a third title in 4 years. You've got Anthony Giacopo from Western Australia, who's podiumed four times in the last 6 years in Ballarat, and Brenton Jones, who finished runner-up behind Caleb Ewan yesterday. He's looking to make his mark on the domestic scene with that green and gold jersey. So a lot hanging on what's about to happen for the national championships, which commence and continue right through until Sunday.
Mike, I remember hearing you talk about Caleb a number of years ago now, and you were immensely excited about this young talent. And it's shaping up as advertised. He really is starting to deliver and produce results. And you said earlier he was unhappy or disappointed. I love to hear that from champions when they're disappointed, because you know it's going to drive them even further. And that's what competition does. Makes you better.
He is so well-driven. And he's so SBS too, George. I mean, his mother is Korean. His father is Aussie-Anglo. And that's why he's got those half-Asian looks. He's terrific. He's an Aussie through and through. That's for sure. He's a little pocket rocket. And I say it might be disappointing for some fans of Australian cycling that we won't see him at the Tour de France this year. He will be at the Giro. But I think he wants to tackle those spring classics, those one-day big races in Europe, which take place in March and April. I think he's got his sights, George, set on the Milan-San Remo, which is one of the biggest one-day classics on the European circuit, on the world circuit for that matter, as is the Paris-Roubaix. I don't think he's got a frame or physical attributes that can tackle the cobbles of Paris-Roubaix, but certainly Milan-San Remo, I think it's going to be held around the middle to late March of March this year. An Australian has already won that in Simon Gerrans and also Matt Goss. He's looking to become the third, and that's what he's focused on this year. Make no bones about it, the Tour de France is a very big race. The national championships are very big races in Australia, as is the Tour Down Under. But for one-day specialists like Caleb Ewan, Milan-San Remo is just as big as any of the others I've just mentioned.
Does that mean now, and let me hear that right, will he be in Adelaide for the Tour Down Under?
Oh, yes, he will, and there's no doubt about it. He will probably conquer one or two stages. He'll be there. The Australian domestic scene is very much important for someone like Caleb. But having said that, the Orica boys are primed for a big appearance in South Australia. And, George, if you've been following, and I'm sure you have, the international scene, we've got the Colombian coming this year in Esteban Chavez, who is knocking on the door of Grand Tour royalty himself. He podiumed at the Vuelta last year. And we're going to see him for the very first time. He might be Colombian, but the way he's embraced himself in the Australian team, Orica Buck has changed, as it was known last year, and Orica Scott this year. He's almost an Australian. He's terrific. He's so entertaining. And it's great that he will be on the roads of Australia this year, because the fans have demanded it, and he is an entertainer through and through.
Mike, can I tell you, for the first time yesterday, I got to meet Gerry Harvey. I've interviewed him a couple of times on radio, but I got to meet him for the very first time.
Gerry Ryan.
Gerry Ryan at at Williamstown yesterday, I don't think I've ever met a more down-to-earth bloke in the position and where he's at in business than him. He is just the pinnacle of just casual. He is just a lovely
and
guy.
And he's an enormous supporter of a lot of, he does a lot of philanthropic stuff. I hosted a function for PanCare a number of years ago now, and we had a function and a raffle in there, and he put his hand up three or four times, and no one was bidding against him, but he still kept upping the ante because he wanted to give something back. So this man, on many levels, loves his sport, backs his sport, and he supports men and women. And he's a great philanthropist, so good on him. Good on you, Jerry.
Yeah, Tony and George, he's been around for a long time when it comes to supporting cycling through his business in Jayco Caravans. He first started when Kathy Bates won the gold medal at the 1992 Olympic Games. That's when he fell in love
another good lady
cycling.
With those beautiful blonde locks.
Yeah, exactly right. But he's been supporting the sport ever since. And, you know, everything he touches when it comes to business just turns to gold. Remember King Kong, the stage production?
Yeah.
That was massive. Walking with Dinosaurs, that big thing in the United States. Of course, he's a Melbourne Cup winner with Americane as well.
Yeah.
And he bankrolls the Orica team and has done so for many, many years. I'm not exactly sure what the annual operating budget is for a team like Orica, but it's nothing less than $20 million a year. His heart is with cycling, as it is with the NRL team, the Melbourne Storm. But his number one at love is the two-wheeled sport. And good on him, because he is Australian cycling's white knight. If it wasn't for Jerry, the sport wouldn't be enjoying the success as it has over the last 10 years at least.
Michael, I've got to remind you of a golden moment in broadcasting when we saw the Orica team and their bus. Remember?
Yeah,
are they now running run flat tyres? In other words, so they don't have to take the air out of the tyres to get under the signage?
Yeah, for those who
missed the moment.
It was in 2013, George, on the island of Corsica. The tour was celebrating its 100th anniversary, the Tour de France. And on stage one, what happened is the cyclists were about 10 kilometres from the finish. The bus got stuck under the gantry at the finish line. And there was panic. There was all hell broke loose. How are we going to move?
Because it was wedged. It was wedged tight.
It was wedged. It got stuck under the gantry.
The old-fashioned wedgie.
And people were wondering, how are we going to get this monstrosity out of the way? Somehow they did, but it was touch and go. They almost called off the stage as a result of that bus. And as for flat tyres, George, I'm not so sure about that, but cycling hasn't been the same since.
Yeah, correct.
It's the only reason we don't run a criterium through Montague Street in South Melbourne, because we know the buses will get caught under the bridge.
Good point. I like that.
The Montague Muncher.
Oh, it just keeps claiming a victim every other week or every other month or certainly every other year.
Hey, Mike, great to have you on board, mate. Thank you so much for your updates, and I'm sure we'll get them right throughout the week here on 1116SEN, right throughout the month, actually, in a massive month of cycling.
Yeah, right throughout the month, right through until the Herald Sun Tour makes its completion. I think it's on February the 5th, but it's a great summer of cycling. And, George, it's great to know you're on board as well, mate.
And I'll see you in Adelaide, my boy.
Yes. Oh, great. The Greek Festival. I'll be
correct.
There, mate.
Good on you.
Okay.
He was a special guest a couple of years ago. And, you know, standing ovation. They love him down there.
Tom,
they now know. They know that he knows his way around a Souvlaki.
During the break, we're going to go to
the Superman.
Daniki and Tom Olaris. What a combo.